like to welcome our first speaker for today's program, who is Dr. Art Barnaby. Art was raised on a diversified farm located in Elk County, Kansas. He received his BS degree from Fort Hays State University, his MS from New Mexico State University, and a PhD in agricultural economics from Texas A&M University. Art joined the agricultural economics faculty in 1979, where he currently holds the rank of professor. Art conducts national extension education programs on market risk, government commodity programs, crop insurance, and public policy. He's authored several research projects on crop insurance issues and their impacts on farmers. His research work with the private sector was the basis for the first revenue insurance contract. Art is a past winner of the Excellence in Extension Award presented by the National Association of Public and Land Grant Universities. He's also a three-time winner of the American Agricultural Economics Association Distinguished Extension Program Award. Art is a frequent speaker at professional, farmer-producer, ag-lender, and insurance industry meetings. Art, we very greatly appreciate your willingness to take time out today to share with us your understanding of the changes in crop insurance programs under the new Farm Bill. The floor is yours.
Thank you, John, and good morning, everyone, or maybe afternoon, depending on the part of the country. We're going to talk about the changes that came in the Farm Bill that apply to crop insurance today. My first slide is simply our disclaimer that there are many decisions that are left to be made by the Secretary, and so consider this the preliminary analysis. We will continue to update our analysis as we gain additional insight, and many of these rules are, in fact, put in place. Starting off with the changes in crop insurance, the 60% yield plug for replacing low yields in an APH was retained. There was at one time consideration of using 70%, but rather than the 70%, bullet point number two applies. If the county has a 50% yield loss, then farmers may drop that year's yield from their APH. The manager's bulletin is really clear on this point. You take those 9 years of yields, leaving out the bad one, and divide by nine. Also, if the county trigger is met more than once, then more than one yield may be excluded. I think this may be the biggest change in the Farm Bill. What this means is that your crop insurance guarantee will not fall in the following year, as it currently does, if you're in a county that has suffered a catastrophe loss. I should also mention you don't actually have to be in that county. If you're in a contiguous county, you also qualify. So that's a major change. Conservation compliance required to receive crop insurance premium subsidies was added to this Farm Bill, but it does give farmers time to fix compliance problems. Out-of-compliance farmers may buy crop insurance, but without the subsidy. One of the questions I have and don't have an answer for, but could those out-of-compliance farmers elect CAT that only has implied premium? Because there is no premium as such, that implied premium is a relationship between the government and the private insurance companies on who bears the risk. Then it might be possible for those farmers to in fact buy CAT only pay the $300 since there's no premium for CAT. Crop insurance changes continuing there. 10% increase in premium subsidies for beginning farmers. Crop agents are allowed to correct errors. All farmers in conservation compliance and not participating in ARC, that's the agricultural risk coverage, that is part of the Farm Service Agency program, may purchase stacks or SCO. The Farm Service Agency, the Risk Management Agency is the one administering SCO and also stacks. SCO covers planted acres, and if the above conditions are met, then SCO can be purchased on cropland that has no base. So in addition to base acres, obviously you can have a lot more acres insured under SCO than would be covered by the Title I programs. Because we're past the crop insurance contract change date, All these changes will not apply until the 2015 crop. The insurance company has a contract with the federal government, and, of course, farmers have a contract with the insurance company. And since they're contracts, you can't just willy-nilly change them. You have to wait until the contract change date to make changes. That's why that is the case, whereas with the farm programs, commodity programs, they can be applied to the 2014 crop and not wait for 15 because there's no contract involved. USDA has an understanding with the Ag Committee that they will follow the Area Risk Protection Insurance program for rating and underwriting. This is what was used to be referred to as GRIP. It is an area plan based off of county losses. In this case, the county will trigger losses, but the actual payment is tied to the deductible and the underlying insurance contract, which we'll get to in a minute. The supplemental coverage is sold via crop agents and private insurance companies and regulated and rated by the risk management agency. The A&O capped at 12%. That's the maximum A&O payment per premium dollar. A&O stands for operating expenses and administrative cost. But the point is, it's outside the $1.3 billion, so there is new money to administer this program. ARPA has no stop loss, and farmers can buy 120%. In the case of SCO, limit is 100% of the crop value and is tied to the insured's deductible. Again, no SCO on ARC or STAX. SCO starts in 2015, while the price loss coverage and the area risk coverage Title I program start in 2014. This is a brief sort of break out the parts of this supplemental coverage. It is strictly a county revenue guarantee. I should also add it can be a county yield guarantee if the person buys a yield protection contract as their primary contract. But most farmers have revenue protection, and so I listed it as county revenue only. The reference prices in this case are the crop insurance prices, and they're based on futures, whereas in Title I, they're based on the marketing year average price. The supplemental coverage covers the revenue protection, RP, with the harvest price excluded, and a yield protection contract. So it covers the deductible that's actually in your individual insurance contract up to 86%. So it's the farmer's APH times crop insurance prices times 86% minus the percent crop insurance coverage. So if you have 80% coverage, then it's going to cover 6% of the deductible. And the type of deductible will be determined by the underlying coverage form, such as revenue versus yield only. The supplemental coverage payment trigger is 86% times the expected county revenue. So the trigger is strictly on the county. It does not matter what happens on your farm. The actual county revenue is then the county yield times the harvest price. And again, that's the insurance price, not the MYA price. And in this case, you take the actual county revenue, divide it by the trigger, adjusted for the crop insurance stop loss, and you come up with a percent county loss. A fairly involved formula that we're not going to get into today. Anyway, we come up with a percent county loss, and that's multiplied times the farmer's liability. Covers all planted acres. The type of coverage is based on the underlying base coverage, RP versus YP, et cetera. Because it is insurance, there's no payment limit, and you can't sequester the payments because it is, in fact, a contract. The maximum payment, the stop loss, is your coverage level in your insurance contract. So you'll have more dollars of coverage under this program if you have 70% crop insurance than you will if you have 80% crop insurance. In fact, if you have 85% crop insurance, then this is only going to cover 1% of your expected revenue. It's a one-time selection from the standpoint that if you elect ARC, you cannot participate in SCO. However, if you elect PLC or you're not in the farm program but you want to buy crop insurance, you can still do that. But it is an annual decision. You can change your level of underlying crop insurance. You could go from 80% RP to 75% RP and then add the supplemental coverage, which would cover more dollars than if you were at 80. And again, that's an annual decision. You can change it as much as you want to from year to year. This is an example farm that we created to kind of show how this works. 150 bushel APH on this farm, 145 at the county level. I assumed a base price of $5. That's that February average for corn, and calculated the appropriate total revenue. And then I have a harvest price dropping to $430. That won't increase the guarantee under RP because the price didn't go up. Then applied the coverage level. I've got 70% in this example. And you end up with a county percent loss of 19%. That assumes 140 bushel county yield and a price dropping from $5 to $4.30. That 19% is then multiplied times the supplemental coverage of $122 in the payment. In that case, is $22.24. Excuse me. This chart here is describing the supplemental coverage. If you have 80% coverage, notice that with 80% coverage, your SCO coverage dropped from $120 down to $45. You squeeze that in. If you took this all the way to 86%, that would be very few dollars that would be covered by SCO. Over here, we calculated the appropriate percent of that $45 that would be paid out with the yield loss that we had on the previous page. That number works out to 49%. So this farmer would be paid 49% of the $45. Would be the indemnity payment. This is the 70% coverage. In this case, I've got $120 because my stop loss is further down the revenue curve, moved it from 80 down to 70, and that's because I dropped my revenue protection from 80% down to 70% coverage. I go through the same formula at the county level, and in this case, works out to 19% loss when you do that ratio, and that's multiplied times $120 to come up with the payment in this case. There is language in the farm bill that says 100% limit on the coverage. The question is, how will that be interpreted by USDA? It might be interpreted as simply expected county yield times the base crop insurance price, which is the spring price, and no adjustment for the harvest price. Therefore, if it is interpreted that way, then increased harvest prices would reduce or eliminate the supplemental county payment trigger. The supplemental coverage dollars of liability would increase for the RP insured farmers because their deductible would now be a larger dollar amount if the price goes up. However, if there's no adjustment for the harvest price in the county trigger, you may well end up with no payment. In the example, if the harvest price increases to $6 and the county's actual yield is 110 bushels, then the SCO coverage increases from $45 to $54 in our 80% example, but the county trigger would equal zero. And bottom line, the result is no payment. So it is critical how they define 100% coverage limit. And much of the SCO is not defined. Here is the example of what I'm showing about a pitcher example. Price goes to 5 to 6, and if we assume no adjustment to, we get additional dollars here of coverage. This is under an 80% RP contract, but the percent county loss comes in at 0 under this scenario if there's no adjustment for the harvest price. I should add, under the ARPA insurance contract, the area risk plan insurance contract, there is an adjustment in the county trigger for harvest price. So it could be interpreted, one would think, either way. So until we know that, we won't know for sure how it's going to work with an RP contract, and the RP contract is the most common. Under the scenarios we just did, 80% RP and supplemental coverage, price declines to 430 and 140 bushel yield. It's a 49% loss on the county trigger times $45 worth of coverage, gives a payment of $22.24. With a 70% contract, decline from 5 to 430, 140 bushels, and an actual county loss of 19%, would also generate $22.24. You're maybe wondering why it isn't bigger. It would be if that yield were even lower or the price dropped more, then the payment would become bigger for the 70% scenario. This slide shows the supplemental estimate premium cost for SCO. I've got a 80% RP guarantee at this location. The rate was 6.9%. That works out to $41.66. When you apply the subsidy, the farmer's share of that premium is $13.33. That was estimated under an enterprise unit scenario. The supplemental coverage in this location for an 80% guarantee is $45. I came up with an estimate of about 31% for a premium rate. And that makes the gross premium roughly $14. And after the subsidies apply, it brings it down to a little under $5. I think my estimate is probably on the high side, but I think folks need to understand this is supplemental coverage. It's the first dollar of loss. It's likely to pay before the underlying insurance contract pays. And because of that, I would anticipate the rates to be much higher than what many people may expect. In other words, they may have some sticker shock when they see the premium rates. But you need to understand, this is the first dollar loss. Once you get about into that guarantee, about 10% down, you've paid out the entire liability. So that is something that we'll have to see exactly how these rates turn out once they're released. Where does SCO fit? Some counties don't have coverage offers greater than 75%. This would allow those counties, farmers in those counties, to buy coverage from 86 down to 75 on an area plan. I know folks in the Corn Belt assumes everybody's got 85% coverage offers, but that's not true. And in some cases, those rates are very high, and they're simply unaffordable in the higher risk areas. So they almost become irrelevant, even if there is offers above 75. Farmers who have significantly more crop acres than base acres, they're going to get less protection from the Title I program because you're only paid on a percentage of your base acres. This is going to cover all planted acres, so if you got a significant number of acres with no base, that could make a difference in your decision. If the county trigger is not adjusted for the harvest price, then SCO, I would expect to be less attractive buy for the RP-insured farmer. An 80% enterprise unit has a greater subsidy than the SCO. The reason I bring this up is if you're in the Corn Belt in a lower risk area and you're willing to go to an enterprise unit, that aggregates all your corn yields on your farm into one guarantee. After all, the SCO is aggregating every farmer in that county to a total. So the SCO is more aggregated yields than what it would be to aggregate your individual farm. But in any case, if you were to buy 85% enterprise unit, there would be little incentive to add the supplemental coverage because you're only adding 1% of coverage to the, your total package. So the point being, if I elect to go into ARC, then I may not be all that concerned about giving up the supplemental coverage because I can buy almost the same amount of coverage individually by simply increasing my crop insurance coverage from my current level to 85%. So it's an alternative you may want to look at. Really risk-adverse corn soybean farmers who are willing to forego a likely small ARC payment because they want to avoid catastrophic price crack might be the ones who would select the PLC and the SCO coverage. So if you're willing to forego maybe a $70 or $80 an acre payment, but you want to avoid the situation where the price of corn drops to $3, then that might influence your decision. I'm not sure how many farmers are that risk adverse, but nonetheless, that would be a case where people where individuals might actually prefer PLC to and the supplemental coverage, especially in the Corn Belt we're talking. One of the critical decisions is how you define county yield. Are we talking about planted acres, harvested acres? Harvested acres plus failed acres. Will failed acres include prevented planted acres? Don't know the answers to those questions, but they really matter. The T yield is a county yield based on planted acres from RMA as opposed to NAS. Trend adjusted expected county yield, I don't know if it'll be done that way, but that's the way the area risk plan is done by crop insurance. Other definitions for county yield that I probably haven't thought about. NAS also has many missing county values, so likely RMA data will need to be used to fill in missing data. The county yield is used to measure that 50% county trigger to allow you to exclude a yield, so that's one place that's really important. ARC uses the county yield, only they use it as Olympic average, so again, how do you define that county yield, because that's going to determine what that Olympic average looks like. One would assume that under ARPA, the county yields will be the same for SCO. If they are, then those county yields will be trend adjusted. Farmers have a basis risk in SCO that they need to be aware of. It's possible that the farm could suffer a loss, but the county trigger does not trigger, and therefore there's no payment. The point being, though, the bigger the farm, the less basis risk you have. If you think about the extreme, if you farm the whole county, then the farm enterprise unit and the county yield are going to be exactly the same thing. So the larger the farm, the more that farm is going to look like the county and less chance that the county, that they will have a loss on their farm, at least at the enterprise level, and not have the county also trigger. The SCO is going to pay claims about 6 months earlier than either of the other farm, either the price loss coverage or the ARC program, because those payments must wait until the marketing year average price is final. Supplemental coverage payments cannot be sequestered, as I said before, no payment limits. Large farmers will have less basis risk. Based on insurance prices, which might be good, might be bad, covers all planted acres. It's an annual decision to buy. The amount and type of coverage is also an annual decision, and 35% of the premiums paid by farmers. This is FAPRI's estimates of how farmers will participate. They've got what looks like a fairly high rate of participation in supplemental coverage. I think that's going to depend on whether or not that county trigger is adjusted for the harvest price, and also what those premium rates actually look like. Remember, it's the first dollar of loss, and so I don't expect extremely cheap premiums. This is a speech that was given by the secretary, in which he said that ARC and PLC will not begin sign up until this fall. There will be no cash payments for those programs until the fall of 2015 because one has to wait for the end of the marketing year to actually start making payments. Therefore, the longer it takes to get the thing implemented, the better off farmers are, because more of these things that are forecast will become history. And in addition, the longer it is, the more likely we are to have the premium rates and the expected county yields for spring planted crops prior to making the decision. It would be nice to know, if I select ARC, what did I turn down on the supplemental coverage side? And that means those rates and expected county yields have to be out in the public before one can make that decision. Again, in summary here, no changes to the insurance until 2015 as opposed to 2014 on the FSA program. It is assumed that the SCO will become available on the fall planted wheat crop that will be harvested in 15. If that in fact happens, we'll get some indication of what the premium rates are going to really look like, as well as what the county expected yield will look like. I would manage point out that we operate a website here at Kansas State University, agmanager.info. We cover many of those issues. That is a free service, so if anyone listening would like to be receive an email from us when our ag manager is updated, all you have to do is send that to agmanager.info. I'm not going to be available today to answer questions, but you can contact me by phone, or you can email questions, comments to agmanager.info, and I will get them there. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Well, no, thank you, Art, for your many and detailed insights into how the Farm Bill is likely to impact crop insurance programs going forward. We very much appreciate your joining us today.